Hello and welcome to the Tantra for Gay Men podcast, hosted by Jason and Ingo Tantra. Here we're exploring spirituality and personal growth through the practice of Tantra, the body, energy and sex. Hello there, Jason Tantra here, and welcome to episode 19 of the Tantra for Gay Men podcast with Ingo and I. Today is a really amazing podcast. We are talking about how becoming multi-orgasmic can improve your sex life, and we're also talking about becoming non-cum focused in sex and how that can revolutionize your sex. This is a really fascinating podcast. It kind of had a life of its own. We talk about that in much detail, but also the spiritual aspects of it as well. Really juicy. Listen all the way through because there's kind of two halves to this. And yeah, I hope you enjoy it. Take care. Hello there, beautiful Ingo.
Hello there, Jason.
Here we are, episode 19.
How did we get here? I asked that last time.
I was going to say, didn't we? We asked this on both versions. And today's topic, are we going to tell people we're in Benidorm again?
I think we can dive right into the topic this time.
Okay. All right. So let me just find out. I'm going to get my mobile phone up and squint. So you ready for today's question?
Today's topic is coming now.
Okay. How can learning to become multi-orgasmic improve my sex? Learning to become non-cum focused and more sensation-based. Let me just repeat that. How can learning to become multi-orgasmic improve my sex? Learning to become non-cum focused and more sensation-based.
Amazing topic.
Okay, where do we want to start? Well, I've got some ideas, obviously. Do you want me to start with those?
Absolutely.
So for me, I think most men who love men, because I'm not really quite sure how it works on a heterosexual level, but I think most men who love men are typically generally cum focused in that that is the conclusion of sex. I think for most men, having sex with other men, when you've come, they've come, or the other way around, that typically means the end of the sexual encounter and whoosh, gone. And I think for many people, I hear times for many people that that is a dissatisfactory experience because it is very goal focused and therefore the period of time to get there is quite short. And I kind of wonder, as I'm hearing that, I think, you know, there's different ways that we could talk about this.
Yes.
But I think one of the things to talk about is what people's repertoire of sex is. And for me, sex can be two different things as I'm thinking about it in this moment. One can be all of the techniques and things that you're doing in sex. And, you know, I think we've said this before. What do we have to learn how to have sex? Well, we have a lot of porn, and porn, the pizza delivery guy arrives, rings the bell. There we open his pizza box. There it is. We have a bit of a kiss. We get our clothes off. We suck each other's cocks. One of us gets rimmed if we're lucky, and then one gets fucked, and then we both come, and then that's over. And that's kind of like the script of sex that we've had for a very long time. And I think that a lot of sex between men follows that kind of script.
Oh, completely.
So I think one of the things about, I want to challenge the question in a moment about becoming multi-orgasmic, because I think that's different than becoming non-cum focused. And even if we just move those two aside for the moment and just have a look at the type of sex that's happening between men, and the possibilities, and one is what you're actually filling that with, i.e. what are the techniques and what are the practices that you're doing. And I think the other thing to look at is what is going on for you internally, in your energy, in your body, in your sensations when you are having sex. And I think for some people that might sound like a really alien question, because I wonder whether some people listening to this will be like, well, nobody ever told me to focus on what I'm feeling, to feel energy, to feel the sensations in my body. Actually, wasn't sex always just an act of doing? So I think those are two avenues I want to explore, but I wanted to hand that over to you to see what you think on any of those.
I have a lot to say to aspect number two, actually, and I would love to go to that at some point. But I think it's important to talk about aspect number one, basically, because it all starts with what am I actually filling my sex time with, right?
So I think that there's something about learning about different things that you can do in sex. Yeah. So let's talk about sucking cock to begin with, okay? Mm-hmm. So people suck cock and that just happens. But there is almost like an art form to sucking cock that can be learned, and different techniques and pleasures and many different techniques in terms of that. Mm-hmm. And then what you could also think about is, okay, well, how do I even massage a cock? Yes. So rather than just suck it, what else could I do with it? Well, actually, you know, we know from our training, there's, you know, 30, 40 different cock massage techniques. And then suddenly, you know, when you've got 30, 40 different sucking techniques, 30 to 40 different cock massage techniques, suddenly that makes the act of sucking somebody's cock far more richer because there's so much more possibility that can happen. If we look at fucking, okay, you know, fucking can typically happen in one or two positions, but actually, you know, there's a good 30, 40, 50 different fucking positions that can happen, or different places in the room that you're in. So there's something for me about a seed of, it's like, how do you approach the sex that you're having and maybe bring to it a level of creativity and spontaneity that would think about, oh my God, what's all the different ways that I could suck you, I could rub you, that I could fuck you, you know, could I do it over the sink, could I do it over the bed, do it hanging from the ceiling, do it in this position, turn you upside down, put you on all fours, hang you upside down, hang you from the ceiling, have you kind of holding on to the coat hangers, gripping the fridge, on the fridge, by the side of the fridge, up against the fridge. You know, what are all the different ways? And I think there's something about doing some technical research to explore all of those different types of techniques. And then, you know, if you've got more of a repertoire, and you've got more of play. So I think the other thing to talk about here as another avenue of exploration is BDSM, bondage, dominance, and sadomasochism. Okay. And I think Tantra borrows mercilessly from that pool of techniques, would be another word that I would say, because I think even in that world, there's so much. So, for example, when we talk about flogging, dear listeners, some of you may be like, oh my God, I would never do that in a million years. But let me see if I can reveal some myths here. So for me, flogging, not as an act of hurting somebody, but as an act that sensation. Mm-hmm. So the act of having a beautiful leather flogger with quite a thuddy sound to it to strike your back, actually what that does to the body is it kind of takes you into a slightly altered state. And even just like a soft, you know, 1 out of 10 intensity has the ability to take people into different altered states. And I think, you know, there's much in the world of BDSM. So for example, just this, and I'm going for the tamer ideas so as not to cause shock to our listeners, or but just the fact of having your hands restrained to a chair with somebody that you trust and lots of safety and consent and and all the things to make this a healthy experience. But just the fact of being restrained and having your body touched and stroked can create, again, many different experiences and many different sensations. So what I'm saying here is I think part of answering this question around how can becoming multi-orgasmic, which we'll come to in a bit, how can becoming multi-orgasmic give me better sex? How can becoming not cum focused give me better sex? For me, one of the first things is about techniques and repertoire, and to vastly research, add, experiment, and try out all of those different things. And I think I've just given a really good map of some stuff to get on with, to have a look at. What do you think about that, Ingo?
Yes, this brings me to this question of this podcast. From a tantric perspective, what are we doing these things for? Where does the map lead, so to speak? Okay, and I would say what we are doing here is really training the body to be able to be immersed in sensation.
Uh-huh.
And to be immersed in arousal, to really bring a person into complete arousal, because in that arousal is something that's the doorway to something that we want to work with, which is the orgasmic corridor, right? That we want to bring a body into that energy via whatever technique works for that person, whether that's massage or stimulation or, you know, this orgasmic corridor, that is something that we want to reach, correct?
I also want to add the word bliss in here as well.
Yeah, okay.
Because I think there's, I think for me there's also different states, and in the way we teach it, there's ecstatic, there's orgasmic,
yes,
there's love, and there's bliss, and I'm wondering if there's other ones, but just as I'm with that topic, there's these very different places on the map.
Well, from a tantric perspective, as I see it, all of these techniques are basically designed to create energies in your body, to open up these energies and make them strong. So these energies, as you mentioned, they can be different energies. There we have our own, in Tantra we've got our own way to name them. There's one thing that's called ecstatic energy, there's one thing that is called orgasmic energy, and so on and so forth. And basically by applying these techniques, we help someone to totally to bring these energies up in your body and to let them overtake you, so that we can then enter a corridor of strong energy where you are hyper aroused, and then from a tantric perspective, many things happen that take you into experiences that you might not have had before. I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes, how that works.
Does
it make sense?
Yes.
So let's take, for example, orgasmic energy. Okay? Orgasmic energy is... So have you ever, you know, you probably have many times, dear listeners, have been... at this moment, just before the point of no return, where you are being, you know, you are completely aroused, and these surges of energy come up, and if you let yourself go over the threshold, so to speak, you're gonna come, and the energy is gonna go down again. So multi-orgasmic techniques basically are designed to extend this moment just before the point of no return, to extend this moment at infinitum. And that means that the intensity of that energy will go up and up and up and up for hours and hours and hours and hours. Now, in Tantra, similarly to, you know, shamanism, for example, in Tantra, we work very much with someone that is referred to as the energetic body. It's something that we believe we have in our body. It's a kind of energetic structures that run through our body, that have canals they run through, that have centers they become more intense in, called chakras, and so on. So we have these energetic structures of the energy body. So what Tantra does is It uses this orgasmic energy, this intensity, to basically flood your energetic body with that energy. And when it pushes through your energetic body, it's going to open up and bring into awareness channels that normally are below our awareness threshold. Mm-hmm. So when we go into, let's say, a multi-orgasmic massage, and through these techniques, we help someone to stay in this very, very high arousal state mm-hmm. for an extended time, mm-hmm. let's say an hour mm-hmm. or two or something like that. Okay. And the energy gets more intense and more intense and more intense. And then it starts to work through the energy body. And then in the experience of that person who is receiving this, all of a sudden things come up that can be extremely beautiful. Mm. Massive feelings of bliss, visions, visuals. It can actually, you know, for those of you who have experience with psychedelics, it can feel very, very, very similar. All of a sudden you are, for example, in a visionary space and you are flooded with bliss, and you might see yourself as your full potential, or you might see yourself, you know, think where you come where you came from, where you are going to, and your spiritual journey, and you are going into all of these beautifully altered states. And those states are basically, they are brought about by these intense orgasmic energies working through the energy body. Mm. And what we do in Tantra, this is one part of the Neo Tantra, as Jason and I, as we teach it, is we create these otherworldly experiences. And we then ask ourselves, what does that tell us about ourselves? If I can have this experience, if I can be that bliss, for example, mm-hmm. what can I learn from that? Do I want to devote my life to be in that more often? Mm-hmm. How can I integrate that into my daily life? Mm-hmm. If I can be that bliss, then what does suffering mean? What does my life mean? What do I want to create in my life? Who do I want to become? Who am I? And these, again, this is very similar to, you know, let's say, if you work, let's say, with a psychedelic therapist, it's very, very similar to taking these experiences in altered states where you experience parts of yourself that you might not have experienced in that very way before. For example, many people don't really know, I would say, what true, real bliss means, right? And all of a sudden you experience yourself as that, and you're like, ah, this is going to change my life. This means something. This is going to change the way I relate to my own life. Mm-hmm. And this is real tantric practice. So it actually starts... And I just really, really love that about Tantra, because it starts from something as, you know, as sexual as, you know, a cock massage or something like that. But then we go through all of this thing. Via this cock massage, we create orgasmic energy. Via this orgasmic energy, we learn how to stay in that orgasmic corridor for longer, which is, you know, the definition of multi-orgasmic, is to stay in this orgasmic corridor that feels very much like the split second before the point of no return, before coming. And then you stay in that and stay in that, and that then extends and extends and becomes more and more intense, but you don't come. It's like tapping into an infinite amount of energy, basically. And then that energy, to use that energy to open up this amazing potential that we have with our energetic body. And via that opening up in our energetic body, this is then a doorway to to all of these otherworldly experiences that help us that help us come closer to a full experience of the full potential, what it means to be human, what it means to be in this body, and many people just don't know about that. And that for me is does it make sense?
It does,
doesn't it?
There's a couple of things that occur to me as you're talking.
Yeah.
One way, and I think what you're talking about is tantric sex.
Yeah.
And I think becoming multi-orgasmic or becoming not come focused, there's something you surrender in becoming not come focused. So for me, I think one of the things to do, if you're going to have a tantric sex session, is to have an agreement beforehand that either you're going to both choose not to come at all.
Yes.
I just want to talk about that even in itself for a moment.
Let's start at that.
Because I think there can be like a grief or that you're missing something or that completion of sex is about coming. And actually, I think there's a bit of psychological work to do to get over that. It can feel like somebody's taking something away from you.
Well, in tantric, from the tantric perspective, the tantric perspective would basically say that we have been conditioned into being that come focus. So we feel that we don't know how to do it differently. And that means if someone takes that kind of learned routine away from us, automatically our system is gonna feel, oh God,
or our ego.
What do I do?
Yes.
Or our ego, what do I do with that otherwise? Because we don't know any other option yet.
I think it can also feel like we're having something stolen from us or something taken away, when in fact making a choice not to come and actually to extend that energy opens up limitless possibilities of experience.
Yeah.
And I think there's something about kind of like how you talk to yourself about that and the kind of conversation that you have so that you don't feel like you're missing out or you're being punished, but that you're making a really conscious choice to choose something different. And for me, you know, there's something about learning to transmute that energy. I'm doing that because there's like your PC pump is a way to kind of move that energy through your body, through the chakras that you were saying, and to kind of let that kind of transmute into the body. And if you keep doing that, keep generating that sexual energy, transmuting it into the body, it opens up gateways and portals into infinite experiences, or the ability to experience yourself way beyond the way that you typically experience yourself. I need to say a bit more.
Okay.
Because I think most people, you know, or people that are not in a tantric lifestyle, experience themselves and believe that the experience of themselves is the normal container, that's the size of their energy and the size of who they are. And it can also start to shape and condition the way that you see life, what you think is possible for you in life. And, you know, for me, there's a level of conformity. Like, if we make sure that everybody believes that their sex is only, you know, 7 minutes of pleasure before you spaff your load, and that's you, done. And if that is a metaphor for your life, then isn't that a way of conforming? And yet there's something so infinitely possible, way beyond, way, way, way beyond all of that. And the litmus test here is if you extend that 7 minutes of sexual energy into 7 hours. Okay, just imagine that for a second. Extending that 7 minutes to 7 hours of tantric sex. And see afterwards, you'll understand what I mean. You'll get a glimpse of when I'm talking about this limitless, infinite potential. And I think one of the other things I wanted to say here is the way that you can tell that you're in tantric sex is watch the clock. Okay. And what I mean by watch the clock is notice time, because what you'll realize is once you enter a certain threshold in tantric sex, time has a very different quality. Hours can go by and it feels like 1 or 2 minutes.
It's basically retraining yourself. This, by the way, this doesn't mean some people ask, "Oh, can I never come again?"
You cannot.
And and this is really a for me, this is almost an absurd question because I see it as this is a possibility. You can one day you can have your normal sex and come, no problem at all. And next week you could set yourself the challenge just for a week to train. It's like to train yourself a little bit in this. It's not exclusive. It's basically, it's almost like you're used to, let's say you're used to ride your motorbike in a certain way and you love that, and there's nothing wrong about that. But there are also other possibilities, other things that you can do with it, basically. And you can have both at the same time, basically. You don't need to give ejaculatory sex you don't have to give that up completely, in my opinion. But there was something else I wanted to say. Oh God, what was it? Ah, yes, of course. So many of you, dear listeners, if you haven't done any tantra before, you're gonna go like, okay, but how do I apply these techniques? What are these techniques and all of that? And I just wanted to say that here, that the process to retrain your sex into a non-ejaculatory one, into a multi-orgasmic one, is a very technical thing. There are all kinds of exercises that it's like learning something new, like learning a new skill. There are exercises, there are meditations, there are you need to practice. Basically, it's very similar to, let's say, practicing yoga. You've got certain positions that you practice and you get better and better at it. So the first thing to do would basically would be to put yourself through a training to relearn to manage your sexual energy in this way. Does that make sense?
One of the other things I wanted to talk about here as well, whilst we're talking about becoming multi-orgasmic, I think there's a stage before becoming multi-orgasmic, which is about expanding the container.
Yes.
I mean by expanding the container to hold your orgasmic energy. So in my 16 years as a tantra coach, tantra practitioner, tantric masseur, I used to often see men that would struggle with what they would call rapid ejaculation.
Yeah.
And one of the things, or the only thing that I was able to help them, typically they didn't like the fact that they found men sexually attractive. There was much a common theme.
Yeah.
And what my work with them to do was to help them expand their, or one, to let go of their shame. And to recognize that they were feeling pleasure and to just tune into that pleasure. And there was something about a surrendering, something about a letting go, something about an expansion. And this is also, I think, part of the tantra training, when you learn to expand your the container that is holding your orgasmic energy.
Yes.
And for me, there's two ways. The non-tantric way is through a silent meditation practice. So really learning through silent meditation to be nothing, be in the void, be in the limitless container. And in tantra, through anal massage, using anal massage as a process of catharsis, as a process of emotional release, and also as a way of expanding the container. We call it the divine feminine. And, you know, that again, that's another podcast. But for me, there's something about expanding the container. So there's still, even though we're talking about the physiological things that you would do, there's also the psychological and emotional that also needs to take place. So there's something about surrender. There's something about letting go of there being a goal, being a focus. There's something about allowing yourself to surrender and open so much that the waves of orgasmic energy that you cultivate and build are, slowly filling up that void. It's a bit like filling up a bucket or filling up a thimble, and a lot of people are having sex from the place of only having a thimble to hold the orgasmic energy. And I think there's also part of the process is turning the thimble into a bucket or into a shipping container so that you can fill it with so much more. And what we know from experience is the more that you're able to expand the container, fill it with orgasmic energy, creates even more intensity of these things we're talking about: ecstasy, orgasm, love, bliss.
This reminds me of one particular aspect of becoming a multi-orgasmic, which is to learn to be in total sensation.
Yes.
Because to build, one of the techniques to build this container that can basically contain limitless amounts of orgasmic energy, to build this is, look, if you have never done this, ask yourself when you have sex next time, am I being in just in the sensation or am I being in my head? Because very often, imagine you are receiving a really beautiful cock massage from, let's say, a masseur that you have just met or something like that. So observe what's going on in your head during that. Oh, do I fancy this person? Oh, I love this person. Could I be with this? Could I be with that? What could this lead to? And every sensation basically triggers a lot of mental talk. And what we are trying to do here is to, it's almost like a meditation that only focuses on the sensation. So when you are being touched, only the sensation and how good it feels, nothing else. And this is actually, this sounds so almost trite, this sounds really, really simple. But it's actually, for those of you who have done meditation, especially something like Vipassana, you will know that in these meditations, just being with the pure sensateness / sensations of things is a doorway into many, many, many other things. So the doorway that meditation uses is to perceive the world as a never-ending, as a stream of sensation that always changes. Here in Tantra, in the multi-orgasmic training, we are doing something similar. One really, really important thing is approach whenever you are receiving, anyone giving these techniques to you. Let's say when someone is giving you a cock massage, let yourself fall into the sensations themselves. Do not buy into all of these mental chatter coming up, but it's purely about the sensations. It's a meditation. How can you be with this sensation purely? And the more you can be with that, the sensation is going to change. It's going to become much bigger, and all of a sudden you're going to feel, wow, I didn't even know that I could feel that intensity of sensation. And that ability to feel that intensity, that is an aspect of what you mentioned, Jason, your vessel, your container starting to build. And that's what you use then later to, if you build that more and more, you can basically, at some point, you can learn how to contain almost limitless amount of orgasmic energy into your body without your body saying, oh, that's too much. Here's the point of no return. Ejaculate and done. Exactly. Because, from a tantric perspective, ejaculation is your body not being able to contain that much energy. It needs to shoot it out.
Well, and I want to talk about this.
Yeah.
Because I also want to talk about then how does sex end?
Yes.
When you're engaging in tantric sex. And what I remember from our experience, when we would have time, say we'd have like a 2-hour sex session and we chose not to come. And we would kind of just, I remember just having times, moments of silence, just feeling the sensations circulating through my body.
Yeah.
And just being with that for a moment. And then we would go and do something normal. So we would go and prepare dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Or we would go and do a bath ritual and just go and have a bath.
Yeah.
And we'd do something else for 1 or 2 hours. And then we would then come back to the bedroom and then have sex for another few hours. And it was then was also then difficult to tell what was sex and what was day-to-day life stuff. Because it would kind of all merge because...
The energy was still flowing.
Exactly. You would still have that sensation in your body.
Yes, the sensation was still there.
And the energy, and you were still holding the experience. Mm-hmm. And it almost like didn't have peaks and troughs anymore. It just was... It turned into a state of beingness, is the best way I can describe it. It turned into a state of being... Yeah, just beingness, and that actually in that beingness was a new identity, a new possibility of how you are you. And what I mean by that is, typically, most people having sex, I think statistically, 7-15 minutes, and then game over, and then they just go back to this other part of themselves that's just operating. And actually... the tantric path, mm-hmm. when you harness sexual energy, it's a bit like, was it riding the bucking bronco? When you're riding your sexual energy without an ejaculation, that just keeps going and it opens up into much more intensity, much more broader experience. And I passionately believe and that... it can change the way that you see the world. I remember in our early days of training, there was one time I took a train somewhere from somewhere to somewhere in Germany, and there was this river. And I remember we'd just done like 5 days, a week of Tantra.
Yeah.
And it was like this river was sparkling in the sun. And I was just totally mesmerized, totally in love, totally in an altered state. And I was just in love and bliss and ecstasy and all of that. And that just stayed with me. And that was like, oh my God. And what it showed me was that there's a different possibility of the way that you choose to experience life. You do not have to do life the way that it's showing up to you right now. There is another way, and it's the pathway of arousal. It's the pathway of your sex. It's the pathway of putting yourself out there as an energy, and for it just to open this infinite abundance and bliss. I'm just in love with it as I'm remembering all of this and sharing this with you.
And it's important to see that what you experienced there is the direct result of you doing these tantric practices.
Yes.
Because this is nothing else. And what you mentioned at some point when you train yourself to be multi-orgasmic, the energy machine within your body continues even when you're not being stimulated.
Yes.
You can actually, in Tantra, train yourself to have orgasms just by concentrating a little bit and breathing a little bit. You can do it on the underground and people won't even, but you can have the same feeling like it's quite incredible. And that's one thing. Once you invite this energy into your life and you cultivate it and you cultivate it and you cultivate it, it's going to take over.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, I would say you can sit somewhere in nature or on the train and look at a river and your sexual energy is circulating and it opens something up in your energy body that connects to the energy of that landscape and you're like, wow, and this beauty comes in and this bliss comes in. That's just one example of what this can do, right?
There should be a health warning on this though. And the health warning is, it invites you not to put up or accept life just the way that it shows up.
Yeah.
So for me, there's something about learning to cultivate your sexual energy in the ways that we're talking about. And what you'll start to realize is that you won't put up with certain situations. So it might be that you're doing a certain job or you have a certain relationship or you have a certain dynamic with a family or just something that's making you less than... Mm-hmm. And there's something about this tantric path that just radiates bliss. And it's like, I don't know if you've ever seen it in a film, where there's like piercing white light just blasts through many blocks and many things that are getting in the way. And for me, that bright light is the true essence of you. And I think one of the reasons why I'm certainly so passionate about Tantra, I think why we're passionate about Tantra, is because it is the most accessible, legal pathway to experience what I call the truth of who you really are, as that infinite star energy that can shine through and blast through all of the things that hold you back. You know, I certainly would say for us, Ingo, I'm not quite sure what my life would have looked like without Tantra.
Oh, completely. I mean it when I say Tantra has become my life, and it is. It has altered my life and opened my life up to so many things that I would have never experienced otherwise.
I think it's opened us up to being very entrepreneurial. I think taking risks, you know, the fact that we chose to go through the visa process for the USA, I think everything that we've cultivated in Tantra, there's like an energy, a force that pushed us to experience life way beyond, you know, the remits of my town, my friends, my family circles. It's like we've kind of gone a bit interstellar from that.
Yeah, this one of the tenets of our spirituality is, of this neo-tantric kind of spirituality is that life shows up. It's a abundant, it's limitless, and it's infinite. And if our experience is not that, then we have something to work on, because our in Tantra, realizing our full potential means being in totality of connection to what shows up in life, which is limitless at all times. If we experience it as limiting, then there's something in us that we haven't looked at. So, and working with sexual energy in this way can basically blast through these perceptual limits, and then something quite amazing opens.
And often it will require you to step into the unknown. It's a bit like, I'm reminded of the Indiana Jones film as a kid, where Indiana Jones was crossing a canyon and he was walking on a bridge that he couldn't see, and it looked like there was nothing there, but he was like walking across this. And for me, living a Tantra lifestyle can feel like that, that often you are in situations where normally you would have been governed by fear, and you'd have thought, oh no, or you'd have talked yourself out of it. But what happens is that there's a deeper sense of trust that whatever happens will happen, and that you still push forward. This is powerful stuff, Ingo.
Beautifully said.
This is powerful stuff that we're talking about. I want to come back to, we're in our last few minutes, would you believe? The question we had, I'm now reading this, how can learning to become multi-orgasmic improve my sex? I think it just will transform your whole understanding of sex.
I think we somehow answered that question. And
learning to become non-cum focused and more sensation-based, I think we've addressed that with bells and whistles on. But I think what we've also talked about is the possibilities of retaining that sexual energy as the most powerful force, and how that can, one, give you what I would call no mind spiritual experiences that are beyond anything you've experienced. And as I said, it has a health warning on it, because I think it can totally transform your life.
Beautifully said. I couldn't say it any.
So listen, if you're excited by that, by this podcast, what we're sharing, you know, there are possibilities in 2025.
There are possibilities to actually learn this.
To come and learn Tantra. We talk about our diploma in Tantra. Mm-hmm. And in 2025, there's three times that's happening. One in upstate New York in June. One in Glastonbury, UK in July. Mm-hmm. And also again in Glastonbury, UK at the end of November, early December. Birth, Sex and Death. That's going to be a very profound retreat. That's in June and July. And at this time of recording, I think they're already half sold out.
Something like that. Yeah.
And in November, December in Glastonbury, we will be doing the Divinity of Bliss. These are just really transformational weeks. Yeah. Everything we talk about, attending one of our Diploma in Tantra weeks is kind of like the ground to create those experiences for you. What would you say about the diploma, Ingo?
Absolutely, try it out. Uh-huh. And if you know, if you're still on the threshold, you can also sign up for a discovery call with one of us, mm-hmm. and to ask all your questions, yeah, and we can give you a more personalized opinion on whether this is exactly for you.
Completely.
But I would say, if it is for you, then this can really turn your view on your life on its head in a good way.
Ingo, thank you. That was felt really good today. It's really interesting when we read the topic and we're like, oh, we've got nothing to say on that. And
it's all spontaneous. Would you believe? The topic of this podcast, Jason told me it 3 minutes before we started. So this is all unprepared.
Do you think we should be sharing that?
I think we should, because actually it's more because in this podcast is very much about sharing ourselves.
It's a conversation.
It's a conversation.
Yeah. I was studying this for the last 3 weeks for this podcast.
No, but we have both been studying this for many years and teaching this for years, so we should be able to do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ingo. That's beautiful. Dear listeners, we hope this has been of service to you. And we look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Thank you, Ingo.
Thank you.
Love you, Ingo.
Love you, darling.
Bye, sweetheart. Take care. Bye-bye. So I really hope you enjoyed today's podcast. I certainly know that Ingo and I immensely enjoyed recording this and sharing our ideas and thoughts. Listen, if you'd like to join us in our diploma program, you can have a look at our events calendar on our website, tantraforgaymen.com. And remember, as Ingo said, on those pages, on the diploma, there's a link there for a discovery call. If you want to check out to see whether this retreat would be right for you, just simply fill in a discovery call and we'll be in touch and we can spend some time together to talk that through. Okay, look after yourself and look forward to seeing you in episode 20. Lots of love. Take care. Bye-bye.